I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We live in very interesting times regarding immigrants. I had a good friend call me this morning and say, and this is verbatim, I never had any idea that we would arrest innocent people and deport them. That was verbatim. A very emotional person called me this morning from Oakmont, where folks have rallied behind Jose Flores. Now, he is from Nicaragua. He is self-described as a political, seeking political asylum. And he was snatched up by ICE and hauled away. And now, under the current rules, in all likelihood, he won't be here for long. In the two Americas we live in, folks are cheering this. Get them the hell out of here. They're breaking the law. Conversely, in Oakmont, this guy's known as a hardworking family man. Seriously. In fact, to prove that point, they raised in 8 hours nearly $100,000 to support him legally. It's the two Americas that are in conflict right now. I had to grab Joseph Patrick Murphy again, the best immigration lawyer I know. Sir, almost $100,000 in 8 hours. Fascinating, well, isn't it?
It really is. It's an amazing groundswell of good cheer and good intentions. I hope he gets it. I hope this isn't Emiliano's 2.0.
Hold on. Back up and explain what happened there, because you're spot on, brother.
There was a ICE raid on a restaurant called Emiliano's.
Oh, yeah.
I think two of them.
Oh, yeah.
There was footage, emotional footage circulated, just like a lot of the emotional news reporting on this case.
Yep.
A couple days later, just like in this one, there was just a GoFundMe was announced. No one said who organized it. No one knows who organized it. Enormous amounts of money are raised like that. And I'm hoping it doesn't follow the pattern of Emiliano's, because the Emiliano's workers never saw a penny.
Hold on.
They were slow.
My man's nailing it. You know this because you rep some of those people, sir.
I did. And some of them, you know, they didn't have a lot of money. One lady had spent a lot of money, asked me, how do I get some of the Emiliano's money? We talked to them and asked them. And people ended up getting deported because this fundraiser sat on that cash. There were not all of them, but some of those cases were defensible. And I went on your show and agreed to do anyone that wanted it. I would do it for free because I knew that the fundraiser had taken up all the goodwill that was available and left these people high and dry. Everybody thinks to themselves, oh, it's taken care of. There's a fundraiser. Certainly with $80,000 is enough to get this guy some relief in the immigration court system. But I hope it's not the same people that very cynically prey on public goodwill and suck that cash up and disappear with it.
So you had conversations with his family, did you not?
I'm not allowed to talk about that right now, but I can tell you we weren't hired.
I see. And was it over money, sir?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, if you're deporting or arresting usually, I don't want to be sexist here, and there are plenty of families that have it the other way around.
Sure.
But in most families, the male head of household is the primary breadwinner. And if you take that guy and put him in immigration detention or deport him, it's going to get pretty rough financially for the wife and kids. And I think that's the strategy of the Trump administration, because they seem to have been focusing on the males, the breadwinners.
So I had an epiphany yesterday because I listened to you. So 2 years ago, this guy would have been cool. In fact, he's been working his ass off in Oakmont for 3 years. cool, living the life.
Yeah, I mean, historically, people would come in and make these affirmative claims, as he did. He entered lawfully. He was given parole at the border, I believe.
Yep.
And it would be years. I mean, the backlog on an affirmative asylum case is like 4.5 years.
Wow.
Right now, it's going to be longer because the Trump administration, and they did this last time around, they believe that people are gaming the system, that they're filing baloney asylum claims just to get that free time earning American-style wages, American-size wages, living in America. So what they do is they reverse the order. Instead of first in, first out, it's last in, first out. So if you were to file an affirmative today, you'd probably get an interview in a month or two.
Oh.
But if you filed an affirmative 2 years ago, you're actually getting further from the interview now because they're – right.
So I get this vibe from you, Ann, and talking to his employer that he's gone.
Uh-huh.
He'll never be – ever be in the States again. What? Is that fair to say?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Nicaragua, we do a lot of work. Very, very well known for very extreme persecution of Catholics, particularly Christians writ large. Possession of a Bible is big trouble now in Nicaragua.
Oh.
If the claim is something along those lines or something related to the political process, the Ortega regime, very, very difficult, very, very brutal, very aggressive, very totalitarian. The thing is he's going to make that asylum claim from inside jail.
He is.
Right? You have to prepare them by – I did one. I won one this summer. But you're going to have to – it wasn't summer. It was October. But they held the lady in jail. I had to prepare her over televideo. They wouldn't even let her out of jail for her trial.
Wow.
She actually was sitting in a jail cell by video testifying in her case. So it's kind of complicated preparing someone like that. Normally it requires a very strong claim. That lady converted to Christianity in a communist country. If our man is going to make something like that, and if he's got – an okay lawyer, he might be able to win his asylum. And if he does, like my lady did, he'll be granted an I-94 and released as an asylee. A year after that, he can apply for a green card. There's no more hoops to jump through for him.
Joseph Patrick.
So if you've got a real case, we'll help you.
What about what I started the show with, this notion that folks think he's innocent of anything? Is he an innocent victim of an aggressive?
Well, no one is saying he's guilty of a crime,
yeah.
Although he may be. He was given parole at the border. The immigration is allowed to let people who don't have visas in for humanitarian reasons. They made that decision with this fellow, to my knowledge. So he didn't enter illegally. He didn't commit that crime. There's not a criminal prosecution going here, and we're not going to be,
right,
so to speak, punishing him. This is the other distortion that I see, and it can really make it hard not only to think about this and act about this issue properly and lawfully for the citizens, but even for lawyers, because no one's being executed here. They're not being sent to prison for decades. You know, they're not getting 20 lashes or anything like that. They're just being returned to their home countries. Everybody's got this idea that this has to be prevented at all costs, perhaps a holdover from a Cold War mentality where trying to defect and failing often did have the death penalty. But it being sent back to Nicaragua, it may for him, and if he can demonstrate that, we won't send him. There is a mechanism here. It's somewhere in between the extremes, right? The one group doesn't want any trial and a quick return home. The one group wants never home. And somewhere in between, we're still going to observe our obligations under the United Nations and other treaties we've had, give these people a fair hearing.
Hey, before you go, man, you were jazzed about something happening regarding Haiti.
Yeah, this is some great news. TPS, which is temporary protected status for Haitians, about 350,000 of them in our country. Anybody who's followed the news knows that Haiti's in pretty bad shape right now. There's no functioning government. There's no president. It's being run by gangs.
Wow.
But it came out early this morning. I got word of it because TPS is supposed to end at midnight tonight. Federal Judge Anna C. Reyes, R-E-Y-E-S, District Court for the District of Columbia, appointed by President Biden, confirmed by the Senate in 23, put a stop to that. She's got a temporary stop on the termination of TPS. What does that mean for TPS holders? They continue living and working legally in the United States. The employers can honor their existing work permits.
Oh.
But it does not give them green cards. It doesn't create a permanent status. It's probably going to result in appeals and things like that. Most importantly, I'm really hoping immigration courts will honor this. They have a nasty reputation lately, the immigration courts and immigration judges, of not following rulings in federal court. There's one called Batista Maldonado that came out right before Christmas. They don't like it, so they're all pretending it doesn't apply to them.
Oh.
And you have to reprove the case every time. It's a across the board ruling, and it's really costing a lot of people a lot of money and a lot of grief. I hope they follow it, but for now the TPS holders are safe. It's not forever, but it's a temporary reprieve, and it's good news.
Joseph Patrick Murphy, my man, thanks, brother. Always spot on. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Marty. Nice speaking with you.
It's amazing.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The gentleman who was grabbed in Oakmont, a family guy, insane work ethic. They love him. And if you're listening to the attorney I just had on, he has a shot. We'll see what happens. It's unnerving when it happens to you. And that's what happened in Oakmont. They love this guy from what I'm told. I don't know anything about him, quite frankly. And they raised almost $100,000 to defend him, so they must love him. We'll see what happens. I find it fascinating what's happened. So the guy's been here 3 years, worked his ass off, doesn't have a parking ticket, nothing. Insanely hardworking, work ethic, family man. And the truth of the matter is that he shouldn't be deported. It's actually an interesting time in America where we hate immigrants, but we don't. We hate ICE, but we don't. We hate the enforcement, but we don't. I tell you what I'm sick of, these jag-off protest insiders, these women with their damn whistles, man. They go to these scenes where they're arresting, they go berserk. They go berserk. And look, I understand that ICE is a federal agency. I understand. They're there to do their job. But when you have women screaming at the top of their lungs with whistles, man, calling you MF-er, oh, man. And then you have ICE agents with 47 days training, oops, which is about what, 1/4 of what they need. And then you throw them into that inferno of hate. And let me add this for those who suggest that these videos are not performative. Really? Why is it we only see them in LA and Minneapolis? Why? For instance, this man's arrest in Oakmont. Someone had it on cell video. Very mellow. Honestly. Go ahead, Patrick.
His wife took that video.
Well, very mellow.
Yep.
No whistles, no screaming and yelling. They got him in cuffs. They take him to the car. He's gone. If that's Minneapolis, it's insane right there. They're tackling people. They're throwing pepper spray balls. Tear gas grenades, reporters are yelling live. It's crazy. part of what happens is the staging of the protest is the play. So the folks who hate ICE, they know when and where this is. How do they know? They follow them all friggin' day long, the ICE agents. And I mean all day. We ain't doing that here. Now, whether it's that we don't care as much, we don't have the people, I don't know. But that is not happening here. Which is why this case intrigues me. This man intrigues me. That he's known as a wonderful father, has an 8-year-old daughter, Jose Flores, and has been a model citizen. My thing is with ICE, why is he the guy? Why? What troubles me was the notion that we're going after drug dealers and murderers and rapists. I checked. Jose Flores doesn't have a parking ticket, ma'am. Jose Flores works his ass off, has a visa that's valid. They have real IDs. They have driver's licenses. They have Social Security numbers. I'm serious. They arrived here in 2022, and have never caused a problem. My point is, if you have a hit list, let me rephrase that, a priority list, how the hell does Jose Flores, no traffic tickets, no arrests, all his documents, how the hell does he become a target? And why in the world is he now in jail? And why does it take $100,000 to defend him? That's what's happening. And it's fascinating. I will stay on this. We will have inside info as it evolves. It's actually amazing to watch.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The beauty of America is that half Americans hate immigrants, even though their parents were immigrants. All my grandparents came from other countries. And all of them came under suspicious circumstances. What troubles me about this case is this guy, because I have friends that know him and hired him, and I love them. And my man works his ass off, is an insane religious guy, is probably the best employee in the building where he works. I just, man, what are we doing? And he really does have an argument for political asylum from Nicaragua. He'll get killed down there. And so my whole thing is, what are we doing here, man, with this guy? If he's a scoundrel and a bum and he's dealing drugs, I'm with you. Get him the hell out of here, man. Yesterday. But this is sketch. It just is, man. It irritates me. It just does. My man, Anthony, go ahead.
Well, Marty, it's a complicated issue.
It is.
I can differentiate between
it is actually
immigrants and people who are here illegally.
Yes, sir.
The immigrant did it the right way. They, you know, they came through Ellis Island.
Yeah, not vetted, all of them, my man. Come on. They made up names. They lied. They created records. Come on.
Of course. There is procedures. Even at the border, you got to go through the point of entry. My point is this. Stephen Miller put an edict out. They want 3,000 people deported a month.
True.
So at that point, they're going to take everybody.
Hold on, Patrick. Is it a day or a month? Isn't it a day? 3,000 a day?
I thought it was a day.
Yeah, it's a day, brother. Go ahead, Anthony.
Well, day, month, whatever.
Huh.
So see, now you see why I told black folks to stay out of this nonsense. Because here's a news flash, people. You cannot interfere in an arrest.
Oh, no.
You just can't.
No, I hate that. See, that's so ignorant what they're doing. Plus, Anthony, it's all performative crap.
Well, remember I told you that when it would happen at Target. Marty, see, the left, you know, they like to coin the phrase white privilege. I coined one on them. It's called woke privilege. Because you have to be suffering from woke privilege. They're like, you can walk up with a cop when federal authorities are arresting somebody and interfere with that. And don't think bad things are going to happen to you. As a black man who's lived in this country for 70 years, I know if my mother was being arrested, I couldn't interfere because bad things would happen to me. So
plus,
I don't know why these
folks... Plus, my man, they have no friggin' skin in the game. They're just trying to be jagoffs for their little cell phone friends.
You know what, Marty? And that crowd the other day at the Grammys, those sanctimonious bums.
Thank you.
Let me tell you something about
them. Come on, man.
Listen. They're so in love with people who are illegally. But when they travel around the world, they have to have a visa and they have to have a passport.
Come on, man.
Can't go marching in somebody's country. Every country has a right to its sovereignty.
So hold on, man. Jump in here on this Oakmont case. Nicaraguan, great citizen.
Somebody must have called
all the papers. Someone got irritated and called him, ratted him out, right?
Yeah, they had to because he was nondescript. He's
right
not
on.
Bothering anybody.
Right
he's
on.
Working.
Right on.
And but see, the problem with the this administration is they're not following the procedure when people who should have qualified for asylum. They're kicked because he wants the numbers.
Plus, my man, I think they ran out of hoodlums.
Everybody else.
They ran out of hoodlums. Let's grab a nice guy.
Yeah, well, see, in Pennsylvania, they don't have, like you have in Minnesota, they don't have a lot of their sanctuary stuff. In the county jails, in the prisons, they turn them over to ICE. They honor the detainers. It's the crazies in New York, in L.A., and Minnesota who won't. And that's why they're being inundated, because they won't cooperate.
No, I'm with you.
I mean, we don't have to like it, but it's the law. If you don't like the law, tell your Congress people and senators to change the law. That simple.
But in this case,
but you can't do it.
In this case, and this is why I love you, because you know this. So my man comes here in 22 and he's cool all the way until Trump says he ain't cool. So now they're trying to send him back to Nicaragua, even though he could get killed there for having a Bible. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And he will, or even worse, he gets sent to El Salvador.
Nice. Yeah.
And you don't want to go to El Salvador and Epcot. That's like the Roach Motel. You enter and you never come out.
My man had Social Security driver's license, paying taxes, you name it. He had the real ID, passport, and not even a parking ticket. And they turned his whole life inside out. I don't like that.
Well, hopefully your lawyer friend will help him. But he gets a good judge, because if he gets a good judge who's seen he's done all these good things, that maybe there will be a change of heart. But right now, until 2028, if you're here illegally, you have a lot to fear, brother.
No, completely agree, my man. Thanks, my man.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. How to argue with that? My friend Janet, thanks for your patience. Go ahead. Janet. Janet's gone. Gents walking the dog. Big time. I'm going to stay on top of this case involving Jose Flores. I'm fascinated by this stuff. And I'm actually going for an opinion for folks I really like. I really like Dave McCormick, and his staff is amazing. He has this press person, Kathy Montgomery. She's an all-star. And I'm told that the senator's involved. I'm going to find out right now. I'm going to see if the senator is doing anything or if it's manageable or if what this is. I'm intrigued by this that because the case is interesting, right? In that he doesn't fit the profile of the bad guy. Like, get him out of here. Drug dealer, rapist, murderer. He's a bum. So what does that suggest to me? Someone ratted him out, right, Patrick? Someone narked him out, man. Yeah.
Not if he was here legally, so I don't know.
No. Someone at work said, screw him, called ICE and said, this guy's a bum, and they tracked him down and snatched him right in front of his house. He has all his papers. It doesn't add up to me. I'm trying to find out. Right now, McCormick's people are looking into it. We'll find out. Here's the other issue. Folks, illegal immigrants aren't a big deal here. They're just not. They're just not. You might think they are. On any given day in the jail, a handful. Are they here? Yeah. Here's the other thing. The local cops kind of sort of have agreements with ICE here. They kind of sort of work together here. I've seen it in Pittsburgh. Even though the mayor says we aren't working with ICE, the local cops, they work with ICE. They know when they're here. They know what they're doing. And by the way, I like this, so no one gets hurt. And I like this because if it hits the fan on the street, the local cops are much better at dealing with it than ICE. And the ICE cops that have reached out to me in the last several months hate their job. Why wouldn't they? They get no respect, kind of lack of training, put in jeopardy, bad vibe all over America. And it makes them the bad guys. And that's not where they belong. They're not bad guys. Go ahead, Annie.
Hi. I have a few friends that live up around Minneapolis.
Yes, ma'am.
In very, very nice neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Very well-to-do neighborhoods. Okay. And you wonder why people are upset? ICE is patrolling around their kids' elementary school.
Yes, all that.
The kids are scared.
Yep.
They want to know whose parents going to be taken next.
Yep.
Can their parents be taken?
But Annie, the performative histrionics,
yeah,
with the whistles and the Range Rovers annoys the hell out of me.
It can, but heck, it gets their attention, your attention, and everybody else's.
Yeah, but it makes everyone look like a fool.
I don't think so.
Well, that's you.
It gets their attention.
Whose attention?
Everybody's.
Who's everybody?
Talking about
and what does it accomplish?
Everybody that.
What is it? You're yelling now. You're doing what they do. You're yelling now.
I'm not yelling. It's the lowest my voice is, but
wow.
It does carry.
Wow. There you go.
But it's no. They're getting people's attention, and every single person that you feel may not be fairly being targeted is getting heard. They don't disappear without being.
That's not what the lawyers say. I just had one of the best lawyers in the country on the air, and you know what he said? These women are making it harder on anyone grabbed by ICE. They're making it 100 times harder because they're making it about themselves. That's from a lawyer face-to-face with these folks. He has 1,000 cases, ma'am, who says, you're wrong, and all those Range Rover ladies are just nuts with their whistles. I'm just telling you. Hey, I don't know the answers. It's a crap show. I know this. We need to do better. They need to train these guys better. ICE, it's unfair to send them in there. It's just ridiculous. I know this. I thought we were going after hardened criminals. This guy in Oakmont has no criminal history of anything. What are we doing? What's the plan there? I know this. There are two Americas. The old timers, the old farts who send me notes, screw them all, they're illegal. I swear I get them every day. And then the more moderate folks are like, oh, man, why are we messing with that guy in Oakmont? I've seen all this. And to the woman who called, all her friends are heroes and they're up there raising hell, blowing their stupid whistles. Joseph Patrick Murphy, who's the best immigration lawyer in this town, says flat out they're making it worse. Flat out. Flat out. They think they're heroes. They're a pain in the ass. They're just Don Lemon times. He is so annoying. He's such a rash. Don Lemon. Goof. Tony, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering what you think about this. If the illegals come across the border and they're not supposed to, my father came through Ellis Island.
Yeah.
And he had to wait in my aunt's.
Yeah.
And they came through legally.
Yeah.
If the illegals cross over the border and they have a family, now, remember whenever they were saying, oh, if you arrest them, you're separating them from their children. Mm. Well, they broke the law. Same thing as robbing a bank. You already know that this is illegal.
It's not robbing a bank. You're irritating me already. Come on, man. Come on. And I've heard that movie and I've seen that movie too, and the border isn't the issue anymore, man. They're in here, and we got to manage them. I don't know if you heard Joseph Patrick Murphy. The folks waiting on asylum case hearings, 4.5-year backlog, sir. They came here and sought asylum. They didn't sneak anywhere. And in the case of the guy in Oakmont, he got paperwork on that. And they said, to hell with you, get out. It's all complex. It's very, very difficult to manage. And a lot of our grandparents, mine did, from Italy and Ireland, came through Ellis Island. God bless them. I love them. But even some of that was sketchy. Just telling you. My grandfather was in the Irish Republican Army and was smuggled in here, to be honest. My man, Matthew. Says a fine lad, Matthew Griffin, and his wife, Delia. And I loved every minute of being around them. And life was hard. Hey, before I go, I want to mention this, and we're working on this, and it's something that has value to most of us. The Post-Gazette. I have sources sitting around big tables trying to save the Post-Gazette. Let me say this. There is hope. Let me read this. And I can't tell you who it's from, but I can tell you that this is fact from a player. Here we go. We have investors and a path to restructure and a sustainable nonprofit organization. This is about the Post-Gazette. This is from a true insider, a power player in the middle. I want the Post-Gazette to be saved. I love them. I use them all the time, man. The reporters are great. Their editors are great. Brandon McGinley's a genius. Let me read it again. I believe we have investors and a path to restructure as a sustainable nonprofit organization. How about that? Now, they're having a hell of a time with the blocks. Shocking. I'm told the Block family has been obnoxious. I'm told the Block family wants to destroy the unions, and they have animus and bitterness and have made this personal. That's what I'm told. So they would rather, and I'm just surmising, lose a couple $100 million out of spite. And save a paper that's been around for well over 100 years. This paper will not be saved without some form of union representation. That's a fact. You can't destroy all the unions, say kiss my, and walk away. You just can't. You can't hire a bunch of 12-year-olds and run them from a digital newsroom in someone's basement. But if the blocks don't come around, and I'm also told there have been discussions with major newspapers in other cities to try and get advice and to get their help too. It ain't dead yet. But I'm told by people in the room that the blocks have been awful to deal with. I know nothing about them. I know nothing about it. But the people sending me this info do. And they're worried that the blocks would rather lose their ass than give in at all to any union. And folks, that makes me sad.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.